Daniel chapter 2. Second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and sleep brake from him. He called his soothsayers together and said, "Tell me what I dreamed, and give me the interpretation of it." Makes me want to send a bunch of people with pain in various portions of their body to some of these television evangelists that are always saying somebody just got healed on the left shoulder. I'd like to give them a real test. A bunch of people with pain in various parts of their body sit down in front of them and say, "Where am I hurting?" That's what Nebuchadnezzar did to smoke them out. He says, "Tell me what I dreamed, and what's the interpretation thereof?" And the soothsayer says, "We pray, O king, tell us thy dream, and we will interpret therewith." No. You tell me what I dreamed, and interpret it, or you're going to get your head cut off at sunrise. Now, the thing that's always amazed me is that some of them didn't just take a guess at it. Well, what did they have to lose? But Daniel came out of the woodwork, sent the message, "O king, we'll tell you what you dreamed, and the interpretation thereof." Great, says Nebuchadnezzar. I think I'm paraphrasing, but it's close. "Great," says Nebuchadnezzar. "Tomorrow at noon." Again, I think I'm paraphrasing. And Daniel went home to his three Hebrew friends and says, "Boys, guess what I just committed us to? If you ever knew how to pray, start now." Now that would create a rather intensified prayer meeting. "Now, Lord, if you're up there," you know the story. Daniel dreamed the dream, or rather, Daniel received the revelation of the dream. Now, you design your own man. Head and shoulders, gold. Head and gold. Shoulders and chest of silver. Sides. Well, let's read it. "Thou, O king," verse 31, Daniel 2, "sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." You know, I would really like to stay with this for a few weeks until I can get back to Ezra and the three-headed eagle. Is that all right with you? And just when I get to it, I'll plan the service in San Francisco and preach on Saturday about the three-headed eagle up in San Francisco. You don't like that, do you? I wouldn't do that to you. This great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. That's why I drew it that way. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs. How many of you will notice a number that leads you to the margin where it says thighs, because the word should be sides of brass. His legs of iron. His feet, part of iron and clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out, without hands. Stone kingdom. Which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver, I warn you, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away. Wind. That no place was found for them. No place. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, filled the whole earth. Mountain. Whole earth. This is the dream. I'd call it a nightmare. This is the dream. And the king said, by time whose it is. That's it. That's really what I dreamed. By Tammuz. Tammuz Dam. He really did it. And he turned to his soothsayer and he says, by Tammuz he did. Now, Daniel said, we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. This old rat of a heathen, God gave him this kingdom. Well, God only works in and amongst the Baptists. It's hard for some of these theological boxes to contain God, though. He just loves to sneak out and come up on them on the backside. Thank God. Thou art the King of Kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold. Babylon. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Another. Inferior. Minus mark. Am I boring you? And another third kingdom of brass. Which shall bear rule over all the earth. Big. Isn't that interesting? Because after Nebuchadnezzar will come the Medo-Persian Empire. But it will never attain the heights of Babylon. And after Medo-Persia will come a third to bear rule over all the earth. Alexander the Great, who conquered the Medo-Persian Empire, sat down and wept. There was no more worlds to conquer. Big. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Everybody knows. Rome symbolized, that was the synonym for Rome, power. How do you know this? You know, it's pretty good to interpret the guy, tell the guy what he dreamed. But now he's going to interpret it and tell the future. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Brittle is the right word there. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, toes of the feet, that's taking us a bit further, iron and clay, a confederacy that will include at least 10 elements of the old Roman Empire, plus clay, and how many others, held together in a loose confederation, these representing kings, and in the days of these kings, 10 kings in their days shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Anybody know any kingdom like that? Huh? It ain't here yet. The kingdom that shall stand forever, that shall break these 10 kings, smatter them and destroy them, that shall not be left to other people, by any form of transition, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know why you haven't seen it? We've been teaching on the gap theory between this fourth kingdom and the iron and clay kingdom with the ten-toed confederacy of kings is the gap. Now, all I got to say is gap theory to you, isn't it? The gap occurs. Now, some of this gap is clarified in 2 Esdras, where this fourth kingdom becomes the three-headed eagle and takes us in history a bit beyond what Daniel saw as he interpreted this. But there is still a gap, and that gap is a vast expanse of time, relatively, between the breakdown of the Iron Kingdom, or the three-headed eagle kingdom, and the formation of that confederacy of ten kings, in whose days a kingdom shall be established, God's kingdom, that will last forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Put in the margin of your Bible, between the 43rd and 44th verse, if you don't already have it. Gap. And at the start of the 44th verse, Antichrist kingdom begins to take shape. Between the 43rd and 44th verse, gap. Start of the 44th verse, Antichrist kingdom begins to take shape. Now let's go on. Am I moving fast enough for you? We then have the three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace. I'm going to skip over that a minute. Then we have Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth chapter. Fourth verse. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Nebuchadnezzar speaking. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they didn't make known unto me the interpretation thereof. He made it easy for them this time. He told them what he dreamed. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. These were the visions. Tenth verse. Thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit and let the beast get away from under it, the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. Everybody's always traditionally interpreted that as 7 years. I want you to know that the Hebrew has a word that allows various interpretations. That could be 7 years, or 7 sets of 7 years, or 7 times, when a time was 360, which could be 7 times 360 days, or 7 times 360 years. And only the context and the verification of other scripture, because no prophecy of scripture is a private interpretation, enables you to determine which use of the phrase times is intended. So don't jump to conclusions. This 7 times could be 7 times 360 days, or 7 years, or it could be 7 times 360 days, where a day is a year, or 2,520 years. And as so often is the case with the ambiguous Hebrew, you don't know until you study the context, other verses of Scripture that must be balanced with it, and the facts of history. Now, which is it? Well, we'll see, won't we? Am I boring you? This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Let's read that again slowly. This matter is by decree of the watchers. They met. And that's rather interesting. I guess God occasionally has a board meeting and lets the watchers speak up. A little bit of democracy up there in heaven. And they came up with a decree. It fascinates me. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, plural. Well, there's a difference then, apparently, between the holy ones and the watchers, or this is just double statement. Let me leave that. To the intent that the living may know. Now, the purpose of this decree is let the living. Now, are you part of the living? This is an object lesson. God has an object lesson for the living. You know how many people have lived and never been told this story? Yet God had his board meeting and the watchers decreed in the presence of the living ones that the living ones' word might be carried out to the intent that the living, that you and me may know, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Isn't that interesting? That common turn over there in Russia has got a boss. Them senators that meet there on Capitol Hill, they ain't the boss. Reagan's got a boss. Even Jesse Jackson, Gary Falwell. God a boss. God doesn't make it obvious. that he's carrying out some of his purposes. Other times he does. Here he's going to do it. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will. Well, it ain't fair. Now, I've been teaching salvation like this, haven't I? God giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, God's going to teach here. He gives the kingdoms of this earth to whomsoever he will. Well, no, I don't like this one. You know, I could preach on this, never thought of it until we got here, until this very moment. Well, no, it's more or less wrong for this country to exist and do what it does. South Africa. And I agree. I agree. How many of you know that the stand I've been taking for time is because I detect a certain kind of insanity and brainwashing going on? How many of you remember when the news media used to call the Ayatollah a holy man? Huh? Any of you remember that? News media would tell us, Ayatollah Khomeini, a holy man. As if the news media knows what's holy. And they got their holy man all right. How many of you remember? I remember reading a newspaper story right after the Shah was dispossessed and Ayatollah Khomeini came home and the people had machine guns. I remember reading a newspaper article, the guns are now in the hands of the people. Any of you remember that? You know what I argue about these moralists in religion? Don't confuse ethics with morality. Don't confuse ethics with morality. There is no such thing as a universal sense or knowledge of sin. There's a universal sense of ought. But from society, society to society, man defines good and evil different ways. Don't take man's definitions and man's standards and try to bring God down, ring him in on your puny mind. Oh God, don't make me say it. Not down here in the back of the country. Doesn't really matter to me that somebody doesn't like what he's talking about, but don't make God your ringmaster. Now, tell your kid, don't do that. Jesus won't like you. Who are you to say what Jesus likes? Don't turn your kid off on Christ because you don't have the spazam to get him to do what he should do. Quit pulling God off his throne saying, said, God can only back a country that's right. Well, I think that's the only ones he should back. I mean, I agree with you. God sometimes does some real foolish things. But the point of this verse is, this matters by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones to the intent, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Do you realize what's just been said? You ever had somebody tell you, you can't do something? Huh? How many have ever had somebody tell them they can't do something? And you have promptly gone out and done it just to show them. Come on. How many? You can't do that. Well, you just watch me, you son of a buck, you. Huh? And it really feels good, doesn't it? I mean, some of the rarest and finest joys of my life have been
shoving it up their nose when they tell me I can't do it. Isn't that right? Now, since God is God and recognizes that part of His nature in us, He knows if it gets out of hand, He must abdicate. So, He lets it be known that He, thank God, He alone has the right to say to you, you can't do that, then you better not do it. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And I am a little old wet spot. See, there's a limit on us because the sad fact is we are men and not God. But He's God. And in essence, He's letting us see. Don't feel too bad about that tendency. It's godlike. But because we're not God, it has to have limits. But God's God. Now, you see how excited you were about the fact there for a minute that it's really joyous when somebody says, oh, you can't do that. And we say, up your nose, we're going to do it. Doesn't that feel good? Feels good to God, too. Just don't be too harsh on him. Let the old boy have a little bit of fun. You know, we love to put these straight jackets on God and say, you better be this way or we won't let you be God. He says, up your nose, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm the God of this universe, jerk. You tell me I can't do it, I'll show you. You put your little old monkey suit on me, make me wear a three-piece suit and be perfect all the time. I ain't God, you're God. You let me just sort of have the position, but you're really the boss because you're telling me what I have to do. God must always walk like Jerry Falwell. Same time, same place. The God that the church tries to wring down our neck is enough to make me puke. The thought of going to heaven with a guy like that, hell is to be preferred. God has got a little bit of the unpredictable in him. He's not going to fit into your little old box. Well, now, God, you've got to be a Baptist. The hell I do. One less Baptist. Well, God, you got to be the assembly of God. He says, you let me define which part of my anatomy I want to make common. Now, come on, be honest. Don't you like the God that I'm presenting a little better than that other boxed-up creature? Well, God, to be God, must be thus and so. Or spit. God, to be God, just has to be Mr. Big. That's all. Top dog. Big cheese. He's just going to be our main man with the ability to carry it out. He says, I'll show you. This matters by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent And you see them having that board meeting up there. And they're saying, God, you see those fools down there that you selected? The only thing they ever did was just reside in the loins of Abraham. And that wasn't the best camping spot on the trail. But they now think that they got a peculiar possession on you. You can't do anything except by their permission and their will and the way they think it ought to be done. Now, we have come to this conclusion, our Lord and Master, since we've had experience down through the eons of time, with the way people get carried away with their own presumptions themselves, let's shove it to them for a while. God says, I've been wondering when you'd come to that conclusion. I've been waiting for it. They say, that's right. I make a motion that we teach those offspring and misbegotten sperm that they're not the only creation that God has to deal with and that you are the boss. And my heavenly soulmate said, I second that motion. Let's give it to them. What do we do? Let's set up a beastly kingdom. A real son of Belial for a while, just to show them we're the boss. I'll give them a real ass-kicker for about 2,520 years, then they will walk a little more humbly in front of me. Now, I'm telling you, I can respect a God like that. I can come to love Him after enough time. But I respect Him going out the gate. What's wrong with the world? The world's lost respect for God because of these puny excuses for a man trying to trace their lineage to some spiritual seed they can't find. Illegitimate worms, perverts, that don't realize God can do what He wants to do, damn it. He can set up over this kingdom the basest of men. That's scary. God setting up a kingdom and giving rule to the basest of men. I've seen people lose their faith sitting around saying, well, now, I just can't really believe there's a God let all this cruelty in the world go on. All that's required is that you recognize that if God is God, He can let all the cruelty go He wants to let go. And then there either is. How'd they get down there? There either is a God or isn't. And I've said it over and over again. It's a crock, this business that deifies love. God is love, thank God. But love is not God. All it takes to be God to be top dog. Power. Boss. Big boss man. He is. When you get that in your head, then you thank God for those little glimpses of His love. But you know, theologians are going to have a real hard time not cracking their teeth on a God who would set up a kingdom with the basis of men just to show He could. Because some beanhead say, you can't do that. You can't do that and be God. I won't worship you any longer. Hear ye, hear ye. Thou shalt not be like this and be God any longer. Watch me. Just watch me. I thought God's rather clever. He arranged it so he could blame the directors of his board. That was pretty good, wasn't it? When he decided to do this object lesson, he called the watchers together and let them vote for it. So he could blame them. Well, it's my directors I have to count to, you know. I'm warning you. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was a stoning. That's, you know, some people are ugly. And then there are others that are ugly. That's a little worse. There's some people that are astonished. Daniel was a stoning. That's a little more. Daniel was a stoning. Stoned out of his head for one whole hour. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, it's thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, now we got it clear, they're the same, and saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be of the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. The Hebrew word is a dan. You ought to write it down in your Bible. All it means is set time. God sets a clock to rolling. That's why I said it can mean 7 years, 7 times 360 days, or it can mean 7 times 360 days, where a day is a year. Which is 2,520 years. 7 times 360, with each day being counted a year. The word is a dan. King James was not quoted to Daniel. This is the interpretation. O king, this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times again, a dan, 7 times shall pass over thee. 7 set periods of time. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins with righteousness,
and thine iniquities be showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom, for the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claw. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know what I've been saying? Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses and said, you can do whatever you want to do, God. I mean, you know, yes, sir. And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Kings, or the King of Heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abuse. Now I want to give you a problem. All prophecy in Scripture comes under the law of double fulfillment. Nebuchadnezzar, how many of you saw in Sunday school those pictures of him crawling around like an animal with big long hair and fingernails like Howard Hughes? Any of you ever see those pictures in Sunday school magazines? Nebuchadnezzar was in his 37th year, the zenith of his power. He died in his 43rd year. I'll leave you a problem right now. Just write that down. Nebuchadnezzar was in his 37th year. He died in the 43rd year. That's how many years? Six, isn't it? When he got this vision, he was in his 37th year, the zenith of his power. He died in his 43rd year of reign. He only lived 6 years after this. Right? What is it, 7 years? I mean, for a God that's been bragging about how much control he's got, he can't keep the poor boy alive 7 years so he can carry out the prophecy. 1 year after, living only 5 years till his death in the 43rd year, external to the biblical records, make it clear that he died 1 year after a recovery of a confessed insanity that is a part of objective records outside of Scripture as well as his own confession here. Archaeology has uncovered records outside of Scripture that confirm the biblical record that Nebuchadnezzar, this kingdom of gold, went through a period of insanity, just as the record in Daniel records. There's an inscription in which he confesses to his insanity, and after his recovery from insanity, which was a period of 4 years, he ruled one more year and died. 6 years. He receives the vision in the 37th year of his reign. In the 38th year, his insane period starts. It lasts 4 years. He comes back and reigns 1 year, which is the 6th year, and dies. So I'm sorry. Those people who have interpreted the King James and read no history books and have told us that he roamed the fields for 7 years. I always believe that. He roamed the fields for 7 years and ate grass while God showed him who was boss. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. He was only insane 4 years. 7 times did not pass over him while he was eating grass. My uncle said then, if God wants you to understand the Bible, why didn't write the damn thing that he could? God just struck out. I ain't going to serve him anymore. Hey, Gene, I can strike out if I want to. I can strike out if I want to. And still do you in. But thank God, his faithfulness keeps him from doing it. Would you like me to unravel that one for you?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I can. You want me to unravel that one for you? Poor old God, he just left hanging up there. There's no difference between 4 years and 7. You want me to unravel that one? Huh? You guys leave this blackboard right where it is. Don't erase it like you normally do. And I'll pick up right here next Sunday.